When I was growing up in Korea, when I was very young, when Korea was pretty poor, we had this well, the water, what do you call it, water pump? Manual water pump. The way we used it was we would put a bucket of water in there, and then we would pump it, and then water would come up. And I had this sense today that as we bring the man of God and his wife, how about we stand to our feet, stretch our hands to them, because we want all that God has invested into this man and his wife to be poured out to us. They are vessels of the Lord, and we want it poured out to us, and it's a safe place where this man's heart that carries the grace of God be freely given without reservation. So I want us to stretch our hands towards Pastor Joe Sweet and his wife Melinda, and bless and pray. You know, if I can have Pastor Jose to come and lead us in prayer to bless Pastor Sweet and Melinda as before their minister. Yeah. How about we agree with Pastor Jose as he prays for? Yeah.
Thank you, Pastor Mia. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before your throne right now. And thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the midst of all of us. I bring before you all your people, Lord God, especially right now for your ministers, Pastor Joe and Melinda, Lord. We're just humbled by your presence in them, Lord. We ask you now, dear Lord Father, that everything that has been ordained for your son and your daughter will be released from heaven today. That indeed, Lord God, they will walk in your ways. And Father, we pray, in these times, in these perilous times that we live, that you will open up their eyes. You will open up their ears. Lord, that you will give them a great discernment in their lives to be able to guide the church in the right path. And Father, also I pray that you use also Pastor Mia and Pastor Paul to be forerunners of what you are doing in the midst of us. Bless this church, Lord Father, and Lord, even right now, I also want to lift up the family of Joe and Melinda, Lord. Every child, Lord God, will accomplish their destiny. And that you will also, Lord God, bless them, Lord Father. Open up the windows of heaven for them. And bring unity and blessings upon their family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. Floor is completely yours. Feel free. Feel free to share.
Is this turned on?
Yeah.
Let's turn that on.
Okay, is it on now?
Yes.
Okay, it's working. Thank you for having us. We're very happy to be here. Where's the worship leader that was on the guitar? God bless you, brother. I love his guitar playing and worship leading, don't you? And all the worship team. And all the worship team, such a wonderful presence of the Lord. You know, we can go to a lot of churches, and some churches haven't learned how to worship too good, but I really appreciate you, what you're doing. And I want to ask you for a favor. Is it okay? Before I leave, I want to give you my email address. So all those songs that you did today, you can email them to me. See, we do almost all the same songs in our church too, but I play guitar. I'm not on the worship team, but I just play guitar in the prayer meetings. But I don't have all those chords. So you send them to me? Thank you. Amen. Amen. So we're already blessed. My wife, Melinda, we planted our church in Southern California in 1991. So we just started with two people in our home. And then it grew from there. So Melinda has done everything, every part of the church, she knows how to do it. She knows how to do the children's church, the worship. She raised up the worship team. the soundboard. We have a food bank where we have a big truck we drive down to Los Angeles. We get food to just, she can drive the truck. She can back up a big truck and a trailer better, way better than me. Yeah, she can do all the stuff. So she knows how to do everything. And if somebody's sick in the church, she can go do it. Everything. So that's, a lot of people don't know that. But anyway, we planted the church. And God's, by the grace of God, he's blessing our church. And the greatest blessing that any church can have is the presence of the Lord. You know, I sensed the presence of the Lord when I was in Jose's church. I sensed the presence of the Lord here. Isn't that wonderful? What an awesome thing that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your presence that we sense right now. And we agree with the prayers of Pastor Jose. And that, God, you would have your way. The Lord, you would do what you want in this place. And, Lord, every one of us would leave changed today because of the power of your living word. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, Pastor, you mentioned something. And God has given our church unusual favor. And that's all it is the favor of God. We can't claim anything except God's favor. But God has brought some of his choicest servants from around the world, some of his premier prophets. God will speak to them. God spoke to Neville Johnson, told him, come to that church every year. He spoke to Brother Sadu. You should go to that church every year. We have Bobby Connor and Louis. So here's how it happened. In the early days when we were planting our church and we were small, another brother who was going many times to the Philippines. Now, he would go to Mindanao. You know, that's the island where they have all the trouble with Islam now. Have you heard? But back in the 90s, he was going to Mindanao, and he was ministering to about 600 or 800 leaders on the island in churches. So he was speaking in our church when we were very small, and he came to me and he said, the Lord spoke to me, he says, that you should go with me to the Mindanao and minister to all these pastors. So at the time, our church was small. I said, okay, let me pray about it. So I was thinking, Lord, I really don't want to ask our church. We didn't have the money for me to even fly. I said, how much do we need? He said, you need $1,200. That will pay for your airfare, but also we want you to buy some Bibles and bring Bibles over for these pastors in their language. So I said, okay, $1,200. We don't have $1,200. And our church is little. We don't have any rich people in our church, just working people. I thought, our little church, this is back in the 90s, I don't think they can give $1,200, but I said, I'll pray. If the Lord tells me to go, then I'll go. So I laid on my face and I prayed. I said, Lord, I'll only go if you tell me to go. And so I was praying and praying. I said, I need you to speak to me. After I prayed, I opened my Bible. It fell open to John chapter 6, where Jesus was in the wilderness and the people had followed him for 3 days with no food. Remember the story? And then it says that Jesus turned to Philip to test him. That's what it says. Jesus turned to Philip and said, it said Jesus knew what he was going to do, but he was testing Philip. He said, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? And Philip said, you know, there's no stores around here. It would take so much money to feed everybody. They're thinking, the disciples said, send him away. But he said, what do we have? This little boy's lunch. So Jesus, you know the story. He took the lunch, he multiplied it, and he fed everybody. And after they ate, he told his disciples, gather up all the leftovers. They gathered up 12 basketfuls. So when I read this, the Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly. Here's what he said. He said, see, I was testing Philip. He said, now I'm testing your church. He said, just like the boy gave his lunch, tell your church to just do whatever they can do. Just give what they can give. He said, I will make sure that you have enough to go to the Philippines. He said, I want you to go, even though you feel like you don't have the money, I want you to go and pour out for those pastors. He said, you pour out to feed those people. And he said, look, they gathered 12 baskets left over. The apostles, that's one for each of the 12 apostles. They only had a little bit of lunch. They fed thousands, and there was 12 baskets left over. The Lord said to me, I'll give your church the 12 baskets. I said, Lord, what are the 12 baskets? He said, I'll bring my choice servants from around the world to your church. If you'll go pour yourself out on the mission field, I'll bring the best to your church. So I said, okay. He said, so I want you to preach John 6 on Sunday and ask your church to give their lunch. So I, back then we only had 25, 30 people in the church. So I got up and I told John 6, and I emphasized this. I kept emphasizing, and God was testing Philip. I said that 3 or 4 times. God is testing Philip. So I said, you guys do whatever you can do. And we're going to receive an offering. I'm going to go to the Philippines. And after I come back, God's going to start sinning. So after I finished my message, we had a visitor that day. He would come to our church once every 3 months. That's all. He's sitting in the back. As soon as I finished my message, he runs straight up to me. He was a little nervous. He was shaking. His face was pale. He said, oh, Pastor, every time you said God is testing Philip, he said, I felt an arrow go through my heart. He said, my name is Philip. He said, listen. He goes, I'm a painting contractor. He said, I just finished the biggest job I ever did. I made $12,000 profit. He said, the tithe is $1,200. He said, but before I came here, I told God and myself, I'm not going to tithe. That's too much money. I won't give it. But every time you said, God is testing Philip, he said, so he goes, here's the $1,200. Go to the Philippines. So that's how we went. That's a true story. See, that's why we should always pray and say, Lord, what do you want me to preach? So I preached the right message that day. So not only did he give the 12, but our church also gave. So I had more than 12. So we were able to go over there and bless the pastors. Right after I got back from that trip, anybody remember in 1994, the Toronto blessing? You ever hear that being poured out? There was a man of God named Larry Randolph. And he was involved in that. He was carrying the presence and the anointing. Right after that, I asked Larry. Larry Randolph lived in our town, but he traveled all over the world. And so he came to our church. After I went to the Philippines, when I got back, the next week he came. And the Holy Spirit was poured out mightily in our church. And so ever since then, God would bring his best servants to our church. So here's what we learned. We continually give even out of our need. We pray for other countries. We pray for North Korea. We pray for other people. We give to missions. We help other people. Our whole thing is to be a giver and to be a blesser, and God always gives us his best. Amen. Amen. So that's true. So we're thankful for that. Anyway, I was praying and I felt led to share one thing, but then I felt during worship, I felt a little change of direction. So I want to share with you this morning about God's purpose for the church. God's purpose for the church. And if you have your Bible, you can open it up to Ephesians chapter 2. Now, the entire book of Ephesians is just full of revelation of our identity. Chapter 1, it says our identity in Christ. We've been redeemed by his blood. We've been predestined by God, chapter 1, into the adoption. You know the word adoption? How many of you know that verse in Ephesians chapter 1? We've been predestined by God to be adopted. Now the word adoption in Ephesians chapter 1 doesn't mean what we think it. In America, when we think adoption, that means you go to an adoption agency, you sign papers, and you bring a baby home, right? That's not what this word means in the Greek. People say, oh, the spirit of adoption. No, when it says you've been predestined to adoption, the word Greek was huiothesia. It means, huios means a fully mature son or daughter who God will entrust them with power and authority. And weothesia means to be placed as a mature son or mature daughter over God's business and be given God's authority. What that weothesia, so it says you've been predestined to this, that's what happened to Jesus when he was 30 years old. He came out of hiddenness. He came out of obscurity. He came into the baptism, and God opened up heaven and spoke audibly and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." That was Huiothesia. God and the Holy Spirit rested on him in bodily form like a dove. And then he went out, fasted 40 days, and began his ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's called Huiothesia. He was placed as a mature son over God's business. So God has predestined all believers to grow up into the full stature of Christ. All believers. Not just a few saints, not just a few, not full-time ministers, all believers, God will give us the grace to grow up into the fullness of Jesus. That's what Ephesians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us we're saved by grace without works, right? And then if we go in chapter 2, verse 19, it says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God." Now, when he says strangers and foreigners, he's referring to the Jews. Before, the Jews were given the oracles of God and the revelation of, but God said, us as Gentiles, we're no longer strangers and foreigners. We're now part of the household of God in Christ. Verse 20, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, here's the purpose for the church, verse 21 and 22. In whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Now, the purpose of the church is that we're washed in the blood, we're born again, and then God begins the process of building us together. Peter calls us all living stones. We are each living stones, washed in the blood of Jesus, new creatures, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Our minds are being renewed. Our souls are being transformed into the image of Christ. And God is building us as living stones. And now the temple that God's going to dwell in is the church. When the believers gather together, God would come and dwell in our midst in fullness. That's his purpose. That's the manifested glory of God in the church. Now, we're in process. We're going to that. Now, I wondered when I read this, and we'll come back to Ephesians 3 and Ephesians 4 because there's some revelation in there. How do we become the dwelling place of God? We're worshiping God today. I sense a wonderful presence. How many love the presence of the Lord? Do you know there's much more presence? There's much more. There's a glory realm that's going to come to the church. And we're not far away from it. There's a glory realm. I mean a realm of the glory where nobody can stand in God's presence. I mean the kind of glory where we'll lift our head. We'll lift our head off the floor. We'll ask each other, what day is it? The kind of glory that makes you tremble with fear. And at the same time, it will be the most terrifying presence. And you'll wish that it will never end. So wonderful and so awesome. That glory that when you get in his presence is transforming. The glory that we behold that changes us into his image. The glory where no sickness or disease can stand in his presence. The glory of God where people that have trauma from past abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, trauma, in that presence, the glory is healing and restoring. Where people come walking out of the glory, shining and carrying the manifest presence of God into the community. God's purpose is to restore the glory of God in fullness to the church. In the book of Acts, the church met 7 days a week. So they met daily in the temple, praising God. They met daily, house to house, continuing steadfast in prayer and fellowship and apostles' doctrines and breaking bread. Now, there's no church organization that can put enough rules and regulation and guilt trip to make people meet 7 days a week. Amen. No matter what you do, even if you could manipulate, put guilt trips, everything, and you could get people to meet 7 days a week, they would only do it for about 3 weeks before they quit the church. But here, there's no evidence of anybody saying, everybody meet 7 days. They wanted to. You couldn't keep them away. All they want to do is get together. Why? Because when they got together, the glory of God was in their midst. See, all the believers always wanted to gather together. So I asked myself, I said, Lord, when I read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Chronicles chapter 5, and they're dedicating Solomon's temple, and all the priests have got together, and they're praising God in one accord, there's a manifested, visible glory cloud came down, and nobody could stand, nobody could minister because of the glory. So I said, Lord, the book of Hebrews says that we are under a better covenant with better promises. In the old covenant, when they were praising God, they were doing it under the blood of bulls and goats, under the law. We're now under the blood of Jesus. Hebrews says, better covenant, better promises. So my question is, why they had a lesser covenant, lesser promises, they had more glory. Here we have better covenant, better promises, less glory. Lord, something doesn't add up. Have you ever thought that? So I went back to 2 Chronicles. Let's look at it. And the Lord began to show me some things. Now, before I share with you what he showed me, I just want to tell you in advance. When I would teach this, what I'm about to teach you, to our church, I told our church, in love, as pastors, sometimes we have to correct. Sometimes we have to rebuke in love. The Bible doesn't just say teach and exhort. Teach and exhort. It says teach, exhort, and rebuke. So sometimes God has to correct us. So I shared with our church the things I'm about to share with you. And after I was done, I told everybody, now next Sunday, I want you to come here and put into practice what we just learned. Don't go home and just say, oh, praise God, that was a good message, and never do anything different. You know, to my surprise, the next Sunday, 95% of everybody in the church did what I asked. I'll tell you what happened. We begin to praise God. And we normally will praise God for an hour. But I'm telling you, the presence of God came so strong in the place. There was an explosive high praise. You know where everybody's just starts shouting to God under the anointing and no one can stop. High praises. And then it shifted and it went into deep worship. Just the awesome presence of God. And it was quiet. And then in that atmosphere, one of the ladies who I know has a prophetic gift, she blurted out a prophecy. And honestly, when I heard it, I thought, Lord, there was such an awesome, sweet presence. But her words seemed a little bit sharp. It said something like this, repent. Today is the day of salvation. Don't delay. Something like that. And I said, oh, Lord, was that you? You know, it just seemed to cut against the... And the Lord said, yes, that was me. That day we had about 20 visitors in our church. And a couple of them have been there maybe a time before, but a lot of them knew. Lord said, while the worship is still going quietly, he said, I want you to quickly just give a quick altar call. So I came up and give a salvation call. All of those people, all 20 of them came up front right there. And the worship is still going. I just said, just keep praising God. Just keep worshiping. We had some of our team, I don't know if Melinda, some others, we led them in a salvation prayer, begin to lay hands on them. When we did, the power of God hit them, people start hitting the floor, speaking in tongues. People that never spoke in tongues. Power of God was just hitting people. Some people were instantly healed, and one person was delivered of a demon. Just the power of God, bam, 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 bam. And then the whole place exploded back up into high praise. And we could not stop. The presence of God was so strong, we could not stop praising God. If I would have tried to stop the worship, it would have been a sin. If I would have tried to stop praising God, it would have been wrong. We went for 2 full hours praising God until finally It just got, everybody in the church, now here's what happened. Everybody in the church went home full of the Holy Spirit. 20 people gave their life to Christ. People got healed, filled with the Holy Spirit. And everybody went home like this. You know. And I said, I'm going to tell you. I said, wow. All we did is make some changes. And then not too long ago, a pastor from Los Angeles called me a few months ago. He said, I want you to come and speak at my church on Sunday. Well, that's hard for me because I'm pastoring my church on Sunday. I can't leave every Sunday, you know. And so I was thinking, well, we'll try to work it out. And he said, listen, he said, the Holy Spirit started moving powerfully in our church last Sunday, and I want you to come. He said, we're having a move of God. I said, oh, that's exciting. I said, tell me more. He said, well, last Sunday, he said, when they had a member of 80 or 100 people, he said, right when church is to start, he said, to my shock and surprise, everybody was there on time. He said, you know, in our church, church starts at 10 o'clock. At 10 o'clock, there's 15 people. At 10 after 10, there's 30 people. At 15 after, there's 40 people. At 25 after 10, now we start at 10. By 10:30, the church is full. He said, but not this Sunday. I don't know why. He said, but at 10 o'clock, the church was full. He said, the first song, the presence of God came. He said, and he said almost exactly what I told you happened in our service. The presence of God, he said, oh my goodness, prophecy, healings, the flow of the Holy Spirit. And I'm going, Lord, this is wonderful. He said, what's going on, Lord? Why did everybody come on time? Why is you're moving so powerfully? He said, Pastor, there's a move of God in our church. He said, I couldn't even preach. He said, very to the very end, I just preached a little bit. So he said, I knew something's going on. So after church was over, I went to my congregation. I said, why did you all show up on time this Sunday? He said, I want to know. I'm curious. You never do that. Here's what they said. They said, Pastor, we got a hold of some CDs from Joe Sweet, and we were listening to his message on how to become the dwelling place of God. So we circulated them among us. We were all listening to them this week. So we all got together and we said, why don't we obey what the Word of God says, and we'll do it this Sunday. So we all said, let's do it. And they said, look what happened. Isn't that amazing? Okay. So now here's what it is. I hope I can see. I didn't bring my reading glasses, but all right, 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We're going to read this. We'll begin reading at verse 11. Now, this is the ark was brought into the temple, and the temple was being dedicated. So it says, it came to pass, verse 11, when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. And the Levites, who were the singers, all those of Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, and their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps, and with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever, that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. So the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. So that's what I was reading. I said, Lord, they praised you in one accord, and the glory came. Why are we not having the glory? And here's what the Lord said to me. He said, go back and read verse 11. It came to pass when the priests came out of the most holy place, for all the priests who were present had sanctified themselves without keeping to their divisions. Now here's what it means. God had, there would be divisions of priests for every month. There were 12 divisions. And so when it was your turn, those priests would sanctify themselves to minister. Then the next month, these priests would sanctify for their turn to minister. But this time, all the priests sanctified themselves and they would go into the most holy place. You had to sanctify yourself to go into the most holy place. So after they went into the most holy place, after sanctifying themselves, going into the most holy place, then they came out of the most holy place, and now they're ready to worship. Now, the Bible says that God has made us all, male and female, we are all priests unto the Lord. Now, the most holy place, we've been given access by the blood of Jesus. All of us, it says, we can now, Hebrews 4, come boldly to the throne of grace. And we will receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. So what they did was, before they came together to corporately worship, they individually would sanctify themselves, and they would get into the presence of God, the manifest presence of God, the holy place. Now, when you get into the presence of God, the presence of God gets on you. Now, they're ready to go to church and worship God. So I said, oh, I see why they had the glory, and in America, we don't. Because we do it wrong. What we do is, I'm not saying everybody does this. Some people do it. They'll stay up on Saturday night watching secular television. Maybe it's sinful, maybe it's not, but it's just secular. So our mind is full of the world. Or their mind's on everything else. Then they wake up late. Oh, it's Sunday. And they jump out of bed, maybe have 5 minutes of prayer. Get in the shower, get ready, and come to church. Sometimes on the way to church, they argue. Hurry up! I am hurrying. You be quiet. Da, 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 da. And then they go, oh, praise God, we're almost to church. Then they walk in church. Amen, brother. Praise God. God is so good. So I'm exaggerating, but you get the point. So instead of that, well, I told our church, here's what you do. I said, next week, on Saturday night, before you don't fill your heart with secular from the world. Spend some time with the Lord before you go to bed Saturday night. Sanctify your heart. Kneel down before your bed and say, God, is there anybody that I have something in my heart against them? If there is, I repent. If I have bitterness, unforgiveness, I repent. Lord, have I wronged anybody? Hebrews 12 says, pursue peace with all men and holiness. Without it, no one will see God. So do I need to apologize? Do I need to make it right? Of course, we should do this every day. I spend some time with God. I said, everybody set your alarm clock half an hour or 1 hour earlier on Sunday. Get up and sanctify yourself and go into the holy place. Kneel down. Spend time in the Word. Repent. Consecrate. If you need to apologize to your spouse, apologize. Tell your spouse you love them. Make everything right. Make your hands clean. Make your heart pure. Spend time with God before you come to church. What are you doing? You're filling your lamp with oil. Amen. See, here's what many Christians do. I'm not saying you do this, but many Christians, they go through the week, they pray 5 minutes every day, maybe 10 minutes, maybe once in a while they read their Bible. And then they think, oh, Sunday, oh, I sure hope the worship team is anointed. Wait, so they come with their lamps with no oil in their lamp. They think, I sure hope the worship team will fill my lamp with oil. No, you're supposed to fill your own lamp at home before you come to church. You're supposed to fill your lamp every day in prayer and the Word. So I told our people, I said, no more coming late to church. Amen. Now, I said, I don't know who the prime minister, do you have a prime minister or president of us? Prime Minister who? Please forgive me, I don't know the name. Malcolm? The Prime Minister Malcolm. Now, if the Prime Minister came to town and you got a special ticket to be there, I guarantee you wouldn't even be 1 minute late. Would you? Huh? If the Prime Minister had a gathering and only 200 people could be there and you got a ticket, Would you go? Would you go half an hour late? No. See, what will the honor will give to the prime minister. What about the honor to the king? I told, but we don't come late to church. We don't come with our heart backslidden. We don't come full of the world. We don't come with our with all these issues. We sanctify. See, that's what they did. The priest, we are priests. The priest would sanctify themselves and go into the holy place. Then they would come out of the holy place, and now they're carrying some oil. Now I want to tell you, there's a wonderful presence here. It's good. So that tells me something is good going on here. Let's go farther. Amen. Let's go farther. And if you're here today, some people, I don't know who you are, but God knows who you are. Some people only go to church because their spouse brings them or their parents bring them. They don't really want to go. Your heart's not in it. May I just appeal to you in the name of Jesus to soften your heart. No more hard heart. Soften your heart and surrender to Jesus Christ. Because I'll tell you what will happen. Once you do, you'll start to experience real life. Don't be proud. Don't be stubborn. Soften your heart. And I'll tell you what will happen once you do. You're going to have only one regret. The same regret that I did when I gave my life to Christ. I said, oh God, why didn't I do this sooner? Why didn't I soften my heart sooner? I got saved at 21 years old. I had a huge, I was so filled with regret. I looked at all my teenage years. What a waste. What a sinful, stupid waste. But God in his grace opened my eyes and I gave my life to Christ. I had one regret. God, why couldn't I have done this sooner? If you're here this morning, I don't know, maybe you are. You come only because your family wants you to come or your parents want you to come. Don't do that. The only one you're hurting is you. The only real life is in Christ. Soften your heart. Open your heart. Lay aside the pride. Lay aside the stubborn self-will. Lay aside, say, Jesus, I surrender. You'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. It'll be the best thing that'll ever happen to you. Amen. Amen. Well, somebody needed to hear that. You still love me? Yes. Okay. Well, you have to because the Bible commands us to love each other. So that's the secret. The secret is to sanctify ourselves. Everybody can do it. And the way we sanctify ourselves is we kneel down, we ask the Holy Spirit. You know, our conscience will tell us if we've talked to somebody with the wrong attitude, if we've have had unclean thoughts or attitudes, if we've neglected prayer, we've neglected to worship God, the Holy Spirit will show us. So we just kneel down, we lay it at, we confess our sins, we ask the Lord for a fresh washing of the blood of Jesus. We ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit. God, fill me with love. Lord, you pray like this before you come to church. Here's what Jesus said. He said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will glorify me. Now, how many want to be more full of the Holy Spirit? Then pray this prayer. Oh, God, fill me so that I can glorify Jesus. If you'll, before Sunday, if you'll say, oh, God, today, anoint me to glorify my King, I'll tell you what will happen. The Holy Spirit will fill you more. And you'll find yourself praising God like you never did. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He glorifies Jesus. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Here's what Jesus said. He called the Holy Spirit a helper. So if you want to be more full of the Holy Spirit, pray this. Oh, Holy Spirit, use me to help. Use me to help somebody. And if you'll pray that prayer and mean it, the Holy Spirit will start filling you. The Holy Spirit's called the teacher. Oh, Holy Spirit, use me to teach something to somebody about Jesus. See, if you want to teach, if you want to be a helper, the Holy Spirit's a comforter. Lord, when I go to church Sunday, lead me to somebody that needs to be comforted. The Holy Spirit's a comforter. The Holy Spirit will fill you to comfort, to help, to teach, to glorify Jesus. Now, let's go back to Ephesians 2. Are you encouraged?
Yes.
See, you can try this experiment next Sunday. You can surprise Pastor Paul when he comes back. And he walks into the He goes, why is everybody here on time? Oh my, and he won't be able to preach. Maybe. There's been a number of times in our church I haven't preached on Sunday. I have a word already. I'm ready to. And it's, oh, the presence is so strong. It would be an offense to God if I tried to stop the worship. Who am I to stop the worship? You see, the reason we learn the word and the reason that we're washed in the blood is so that we can become worshipers and encounter him. So if we're encountering him, why would we stop encountering him so we can go back to the word? When we're encountering the Lord, that's what we came for. Anyway, should I go a little bit longer?
Yes.
How many will give me 10 more minutes? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50. Okay. I don't know. Okay, let's go to Ephesians 2. See, that's the purpose. He said, you are being built together into a holy, H-O-L-Y, a holy dwelling place. You're being built together. Together. See, when we neglect the gathering together. Now, another thing that helps our hearts get knit together, if you want to see more unity in the church, serve God more. Everybody in the church should have some way that they're serving. Because when you serve with other people in the church, your hearts get connected. See, in our church, we have an emergency grocery distribution. By the grace of God, we distribute about 10 or 15 tons of food every month to people that are poor or elderly or single mothers. So it takes 40 or 50 people in our church to do that ministry. Then we have evangelism. We go out on the streets. We go door to door. Every month we reach 1,000 or 1,500 homes. So all the people that do that together, they get knit together. All the people that serve in the food ministry, they get knit together. We have other people that serve in children's church. We have the ushers. So by serving God with other believers, your hearts are going to get connected. We shouldn't just go on Sunday, go home. No, God's plan is for you to be connected with other believers on a heart level. So the unity of the Holy Spirit. God commands the blessing where there's unity. So he said he brings the church together in holiness to be his dwelling place. I'll tell you that when the more the presence of God manifests, the less that you're going to want to go home. The more God's presence comes, the quicker the service goes by. You say, oh, that was already 2.5 hours? It's already time to go? Can't we stay? That's how it feels when the presence comes really strong. Now let's keep going. He said, God's plan is to build the church together. So he said, chapter 3, now in the original letter to the Ephesians, there's no chapter 3, right? In other words, at the end of chapter 2, it says, in whom you are being built together for a dwelling place. Well, there was no space, paragraph, chapter 3. It just went the very next sentence. So he says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, Jesus, for you Gentiles. So he says, for this reason. Now, verses 2 through 13 is a parenthesis. He starts to say, you're being built together into a dwelling place, and for this reason. And then he pauses and he starts to tell them about his calling. So verses 2 through 13, we'll skip. He said, if indeed you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery. So he's going to say, for this reason, well, have you guys heard that God visited me and gave me a calling? So for verse 2 to 13, he's talking about his calling to minister to the church. But then back in verse 14, he comes back to what he was going to say, for this reason. Now, what reason is he talking about? You are being built together for a dwelling place of the manifest fullness of God in your midst. So he said, now he goes back to verse 14, he gets back to his point. He says, for this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now he's going to pray an awesome prayer that is full of revelation. And this prayer is the prayer to fulfill the purpose of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21. He said, you're being built together into a dwelling place. So for this reason, I pray this prayer. Now here's the prayer for the church to become the dwelling place. Are you ready? All right. From whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, verse 16. God, he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. So here's a prayer that we can pray as believers, as the church. We should pray this prayer over the church. God, let everybody be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in the inner man. Amen. Now, we all go through trials at different times, don't we? Sometimes we may have a trial in our own family or at our work or internally, or we're buffeted by demonic temptations. We're going through a trial. So we all need to be strengthened by the Holy Spirit. How many have ever had a time where you're feeling so weak, you're being buffeted, but somehow you feel the strength of the Holy Spirit come? All of a sudden, nothing outwardly changes. The trial's still going on, but inside you feel strong. That's what he's praying. He said, I pray that you'll be strengthened with might by his Spirit on the inside. Now watch. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. So he wants a prayer to remind us that Christ really lives in us. We have to be reminded of that. He lives in us. Listen, if you and I have called on the name of Jesus, we've been born again, I want to remind you, you're a new creation. You are not a normal person. You may look normal on the outside, but you're not normal. You're a God person. Christ lives in you. Your sins have been washed away. You're now a new creation. Christ lives in you. Christ wants out. He wants to live through us, and he lives through us by faith. I can live, even though I'm a new creation, if I forget who I am and I forget Christ lives in me, I can walk through the day and live just like a normal man that's not born again. Or I can go through the day remembering. That's what it means to sanctify the Lord in your heart. I can remember when I go through the day, Jesus is in me right now. Jesus is in me right now. I'm telling you right now, while I'm talking, Jesus Christ is talking through me. God is talking to you today through me. And God will talk to other people today through you. When you put your hand on someone to encourage them, that is the hand of Jesus touching them. Because you are literally the body of Christ. We are members of his body. Christ is filling all. He's in all. He's all in all. So he's praying this prayer. Oh God, for them to become the dwelling place, they must remember that Christ is living in them. Your old sins are gone. You're not a normal person. You're a new creation in Christ. All things are possible because God lives in you. Amen. You can love anybody because Christ lives in you, and he can love anybody. You can overcome anything because Christ is in you. You can overcome bitterness. You can overcome lust. You can overcome fear. Why? Because Christ is in you. And if we walk that way and say, oh God, I'm a new creation. Thank you that Christ is not only in us, he is our life. Colossians chapter 3, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, you shall appear with him in glory. So that's his prayer. He says, I pray that you'll be strengthened. Number two, that you'll remember Christ lives in you. And then he goes on, that you, being verse 17, would be rooted and grounded in love. Now, rooted and grounded, those are words that we use when we describe planting a plant. You know, I'm not too much into that, but my wife is. She loves to have plants. She loves fruit trees, and She likes, has potted plants. And when you take a plant and you root it and ground it, that plant is not going anywhere. Right? And those roots, whatever's in the soil, those roots are going to suck up. The roots are going to absorb whatever soil it is. And they're going to bring forth based on the nutrients in that soil. So God says, here's my prayer, that you and I would be rooted and grounded in love. That we would not absorb anything and produce anything that's not love. Love. Rooted in love? Now, if I'm rooted in love, I can't leave it. You never see a tree running around your backyard. They're just rooted. That's God's prayer. Stay in love. Don't get out of love. If you do, get back. Stay in love. And let our roots sink deep into the love of Christ and let love come out. So he says that you'd be rooted and grounded in love. Verse 18, that you also may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is a width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now that's the prayer he said. He's praying for this reason. What reason? You're being built together into a holy dwelling place where God will manifest in fullness. He said, for that reason, I'm going to pray this prayer. And here's the prayer he's praying. That God would strengthen you with might by his Spirit. That Christ would live in your hearts by faith. That you would be rooted and grounded in love. And the Holy Spirit will make you grasp. He'll make you comprehend the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of the love of God. Why? Why does God want us to grasp that? So that you and I corporately can be filled with all the fullness of God. Amen. That's God's plan for the church. That's the glory realm. That means as we grow in love, the glory realm goes up. It's all about love. 1 John 4:16. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Jesus said, if you'll abide in me, you'll bear much fruit. And by this my Father is glorified. So the Holy Spirit gives us the love. Romans chapter 5, the love of God is poured into our heart by the Holy Spirit. Whenever we come to a situation, say, oh God, oh, you know how hard it is for me to love this person. Now be honest, you have people like that in your life. You might be that person for someone else. It might be, I might be that person for someone else. But here's what we remember. I'm living by faith. Christ lives in me. I can love because Christ's love is in me. I can forgive. I can go the second mile. What is love? How do we define love? Not human love. Not just, I love you. Or not, oh, I feel love. It's not a feeling. It's not words. Here's how we define love. 1 John 3:16. It says, here is how we know what love is. He laid down his life for us, and we also should lay down our lives for the brethren. So as we grow in one, we sanctify ourselves every time we come together. Number two, we pray this prayer to grow in love. As we sanctify ourselves daily and we're growing in love, the glory realm of God will start manifesting more and more and more. Now, someone would say, wait a minute. Are you telling me this verse says that God, this prayer Paul prayed, was that we corporately, that means together, we would be filled with part of God's presence. That's not what it says. That you may be filled with the fullness. Let me read that again. That you may comprehend the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all not part of, all the fullness of God. Can you imagine what's that going to be like? Now, we're growing in this too, our congregation. But I'm telling you this, before Jesus comes back, all over the world there's going to be congregations that are filled with all the fullness of God. And it's the glory realm. And here's what happens in the glory realm. You don't even have to pray for anybody. When they walk into the glory realm, crooked limbs become straight. Blind eyes pop open. Demons come out screaming. Unsaved people fall on their face and give their life to Christ, where the glory realm is. And the glory realm is the ark of safety. It's the ark of Christ. When churches become the glory realm, it doesn't matter what's going on in the world. I don't care where the earthquakes are, where the tornadoes are, what the economy's doing. Where the glory realm is the church is, there'll be peace, there'll be provision, there'll be angelic protection, there'll be everything. It'll be a place, it'll be a slice of heaven on earth. Amen. Amen. The church is the refuge place. The church that becomes full of God's glory. Amen. Now someone would say, Pastor, I just don't believe that the church could be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, then that's why the next verse is in the Bible. It says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. God says, you think I can't fill the church with all the fullness of God? I'm able to do exceedingly abundantly above whatever you could even ask or think of. That's a good word. That's a good word. I think I'm just going to pause right there and say, amen. What time do you normally stop?
10 past 12.
Well, right now it's 11:50, but where I'm home, it's a lot earlier. So I could keep going until it's 12:30. Right? No, I won't do that. You know, isn't that amazing? We have the best calling of God to become his dwelling place. I'll just go on a little bit more. Now remember, there's no chapter break in the letter of Ephesians. No chapter break. So Paul's continuing with this thought. You're to be built into a dwelling place. Here's the prayer that you should pray to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And now he's going to give in chapter 4, verse 1, he's going to give us some admonitions on how to walk worthy of this calling to become his dwelling place. Chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of this calling. And the calling he's talking about is to be filled with all the fullness of God, with which you were called. Now he's going to tell us how. With all lowliness, humbleness, gentleness, long-suffering. I looked up the word long-suffering in the Greek. You know what it means? Long-suffering. That's when you get brother sandpaper in your life. You know, the one that rubs you the wrong way. How many have ever had a brother or sister sandpaper at work or at school or somewhere? Anybody? Am I the only one? You know, when they come, the Holy Spirit gives you long-suffering. Now, if we're going to walk worthy of becoming the dwelling place of God, it's going to require this, because here's the truth. I'm not perfect, and neither are you. We are all in process. And that means there's going to be times where we could hurt each other's feelings, not purposely. It might happen accidentally. And that's where we die to self. We live the crucified life. See, when I was a little boy, let me just finish reading this, and I'll try to close. Be walk worthy with all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He said that's how you're going to walk worthy of this calling. Humbleness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with each other, not bearing with each other with an attitude, like, oh, brother. You know, God, when will you deliver me from this person? No, that's not bearing with each other. Bear with them with long suffering in love. He said, that's how we walk worthy of the dwelling place. God is love. If we abide in love, God will abide in our midst. When I was a boy, I don't know how old I was, maybe 9 years old. My parents bought me something that I wanted for Christmas. It was a rock tumbler. You ever heard of that? It looks like those old-fashioned, like a paint can. You know, like a one-gallon paint can. You know, the lid that you put on and you hammer it down. Well, we had an electric motor with some things that made the paint can go like that for 24 hours a day. You plug it in. And what you did is you take these rocks, and the rocks just like look like plain, ugly rocks. But they weren't. They were agates and tigers. But when you look at them, they look like ugly rocks. So then you take all the rocks, you put them in the paint can together, and then you add some grit, like some sand. Throw in the sand, you add in some water, and you close the lid, you put on the rock tumbler and plug it in, and the rocks tumble around together. You know what they're doing? They're all bumping and grinding against each other. Ow! 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 Grinding and bumping against each other. But after 7 days, you take them out, and you rinse them underwater, and you go, oh my goodness, this is a beautiful semi-precious gemstone. It looked like an ugly rock when I put it in. See, that's God's plan for the church. God says, come together. I'm going to put you all in this can together, and you're going to bump together. And here's what some people do. They go, ow! And they come, they say, I'm not going to church anymore. Why? I was hurt. Well, if you don't go to church anymore, you'll never become a gemstone. You got to get back in the can. You got to stay in the process. You got to learn long suffering. You got to learn gentleness. You got to learn love. And as you stay connected, listen, I heard a story about a man one day. He woke up on Sunday morning and he told his wife, I'm not going to church today. His wife said, honey, get dressed. It's Sunday. You need to go to church. He said, I don't want to. She said, you can't. That's a bad attitude. You need to go to church. He said, I don't feel like anybody loves me at church. And I feel hurt. She said, don't be a baby. Get dressed and go to church. She said to his wife, give me one good reason why I should go. She said, because you're the pastor. See, we all get hurt, don't we? Stay in the process. Grow in love. I'm not going to grow in love unless I'm with other people. And when someone steps on your toes, that's the opportunity to grow in love. Amen. I'll tell you what, we'll become the dwelling place of God. And I'll tell you, let me close with this. Have you heard of the prophet John Paul Jackson? Yeah, he's with the Lord in glory now. But God gave him a vision. He was a very accurate prophet. He gave him a vision of the glory of God. He said, I saw the glory of God coming to churches. I believe the glory of God will come to this church. I believe the glory of God will come to Pastor Jose's church. I believe the glory of God's coming to Australia. Amen. Where we learn to walk in holiness. See, you're being built together into a holy temple. In love, in humility. And he said I saw an amber visible glory cloud in churches, in different churches coming in this move of God. And he said, I saw that anybody, it didn't matter who they were, if they stepped into that glory cloud, they were healed of anything. Amen. Missing body parts restored, organs restored, spines straightened out, demons coming out, healing in their soul, healing in their memories, healing in their broken hearts. The glory cloud's coming. Now, I want to give one warning. Ephesians chapter 1, it says, walk worthy of this calling with all lowliness. Now, let me just say something. When a strong anointing comes, a strong presence of God, and this isn't just for the worship team, it could be for anybody. Some people, we have to guard our heart from pride. Because sometimes people on the worship team, or even the pastor, or the associate pastor, or youth, or somebody that prophesies, they feel the anointing so strong, they feel like, this is my time to show everybody how anointed I am. And they want to start prophesying or singing or, well, only do that if the Holy Spirit's really moving you. Don't, listen, when we feel the anointing, we can all do something. But this is the time to be low before God. When there is a presence, and only do what you know the Holy Spirit is doing. God will be glorified. No flesh will be exalted in his presence. For example, if the presence glory starts coming real strong and me or one of the worship team starts thinking, oh, this is, I want everybody to see how I can prophesy right now. Well, I'm just trying to make myself look great. And when you do those kind of things, the presence lifts. It gets less and less anointed. The way to host the presence of God is to stay humble. Amen. See, when the presence of God comes, I say, Lord, I don't have to preach. This is about Jesus, not about me. Let God be glorified. Let God be exalted. Let all of us be low. Let's become his dwelling place. Let him increase. Let us decrease. I would rather be nothing. I'd rather be unseen, nobody in the corner, if I can be around the glory of God. Wouldn't you? If we have that, that's why it says the all lowliness, gentleness, love. So anyway, that's my message for this morning. God is wanting to build the church together into a holy habit. I think you're not far. I think you're going to go closer. I don't think you're far. I don't think this church is far from the glory of God. I really don't. Just keep sanctifying. Humble yourself. I challenge you, next Sunday, spend time all this week sanctifying yourself. Lay before the Lord all this week and say, God, is there anything in me I need to repent of? Is there anybody I need to apologize to? Do I need to make anything right? Wash me, Lord. Let me come, Lord. Let me come to church next Sunday after I've spent time with God on my knees and got full of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, let me show up and let's give you the glory. See what happens. See what happens. I think when we start doing this, every time we meet, God's glory is going to start coming more and more. Lord, I want to thank you for what you're doing in this church. I want to thank you for your grace and your hand upon this body. And Lord, we pray for Pastor Paul as he's in Korea. Thank you for giving him safe travel and a safe trip and a safe return. And Lord, I just pray that all that you have purposed, all that your plans for this church will unfold according to your perfect will in Jesus' name. And all that agreed said, let's all give Jesus the glory right now. Let's give him praise. If you want, we'll pray for people or do anything you want. Is that all right?
What I want us to do is I want to have the floor open so that Pastor Josue can minister to us. But I don't want there to be interruptions, because some of us need to go home. I understand that. And some people, you may need some rest. If you want to, then if you can quietly go outside, yeah? And can you have your coffee and tea? And if you want to leave, then do it quietly. Because I want to respect the presence of God as Pastor Sweet ministers to God's people here. And I want to open the floor for people. If you are challenged by what Pastor Sweet said, do feel free as the worship team ministers. Do feel free to come to the front. And we'll have Pastor Joe Sweet and Melinda and whoever else you want to invite.
Jose,
to
can here. Pastor Jose, pray with us?
Yes, Pastor Jose. Minister to us. So what I'm asking is that respect the presence of God, because when we chat and make noise and God's doing something, His grace can lift. And there are people who need to hear from God. Yeah, there are people who need to hear from God today. They've come wanting, asking, having prayed that God, I want you to minister to me. So in order that this ministry takes place, if you want to talk and fellowship outside, yeah? Is that all right? Is that all right? Yeah? Amen. Okay. If Sunny, if you can lead the worship. And yes. And I'm going to open the floor now. If you want to come to the front, yeah, do so now, please.
Oh, let the Son of God enfold you with His Spirit and His love. Let Him fill your heart and satisfy your soul. Speak.